Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Find all of these radio programs and MP3 files. Also, our TV program is there, along with a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you a need for God in your life to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. The first of the month, we have begun a serious study of the subject of sin. In the past 3 weeks, we defined what sin is. I want to add one more thing before we move on to our next topic. Sin is truly a terrible and ugly thing. It continues to rampage in the world and continue to add men and women's souls that are doomed to destruction unless they find Christ. People of the world and many of God's own children need to see sin in all of its ugliness and its deceitfulness. Sin is powerful. Sin is enjoyable for a time, but it has a penalty. Sin will never explain the full price you will pay if you partake of its fruit. Sin will always do 3 things to you. I want you to remember these 3 things throughout this series. Sin will take you farther than you intended to go. Number 2, sin will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And worst, sin will always cost you more than you're willing to pay. Don't underestimate it, its attraction or its power that it has and its desire to bring you under its influence and its character in order to destroy you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the world would see sin just like God does? Satan is trying to hide from you its true character. God's Word is trying to show you the true reflection of sin in the pages of truth. The question is, whose picture are you buying, God or Satan? It's a choice. You have to make it. We have correctly and with the Scripture defined what sin is. Let's move forward and understand sin and the nature of man in its relationship with man. In Psalms 8, verse 4, the Bible says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and a son of man that you visit him?" This is an expression of astonishment, that God, the creator of the world, would not simply ignore man and really not give him a second thought. Yet, what other of God's creation could even ask such a question? This topic is crucial to our overall subject and understanding of the subject. In order to have a correct understanding of the biblical doctrine of sin, we must take into account the nature of man. As we will see, there has been a great deal of controversy concerning man's nature. Other than angels, man is the only part of creation to whom sin applies. Only man needs to ask any questions about sin. We must inquire into the relationship between the nature of man and this thing called sin. How is man capable of sin? And how does sin affect man? Why do people sin? And is sin inevitable? And those are things that we want to examine. These questions need answers. Man is the height of God's earthly creation. Man was placed in charge of all that God had created and put in the earth. Read Genesis chapter 1. 28 through 30. He is made in the image of God. Jesus came in the form of a man, not in the form of an angel. Read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 through 18. And so it is crucial in order for us to understand the true nature of sin and understand how it affects us to understand what man's relationship and nature is to sin. And the question that we really want to hone in on in this particular series of lessons, is man capable of saying no to sin? or is sin something that overwhelms him and can only be defeated because God acts on him in a supernatural way? We want to examine the answer to that question. First of all, man is spirit, contrary to materialism. Man is made in the image of God. Genesis 1:26 clearly teaches that. Male and female, two images of the flesh, clothing or drapery for the inner man, the inner person of both, and the inner person reflects the image of God. Genesis 2 verse 7 says that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. There is a part of man that lives beyond the grave. That part is his inner man. That is his inner being. That is his spirit. Read Psalm 16, verse 10. God's a spirit without the body of flesh and bones. John 4, verse 24. The fleshly image of man cannot reflect the image of God. Romans chapter 1, verse number 23. 430 years after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were dead, God lived as a spirit. And these men as spirits still lived according to Matthew 22. Let's read Matthew 22, verse 29 through 32. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29 through 32. Jesus said, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither are buried nor given in marriage, but they are like the angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And so what's the point? The point is that man lives in some capacity beyond the grave. He lives in the spiritual realm, the inner being that survived the death of his human body. It turns back to dust, and the spirit goes back to God who gave it, according to Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 7. God's image is reflected in man as a spirit being who has intelligence, he has will, he has power, and he has a moral capacity that he can tap into. Because we are made in his image and have the ability to choose, and that we have free will, we have a moral obligation to obey God. In the very beginning, as we examined a few weeks ago, God gave Adam and Eve a very simple law. They were told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but in the day they ate of it, they would surely die. And so that was a choice that man was going to have to choose. Materialism is the view that man is a body without the inner man or the spirit. This theory is held by those who are atheists, those who are evolutionists, Seventh-day Adventists hold this, so do the Jehovah's Witnesses to some degree, and the Worldwide or Seventh-day Church of God, started by Herbert W. Armstrong, also perpetuates this, and others as well. Some of these deny the spirit, but affirm the resurrection, which is kind of a contradiction in and of itself. Jesus taught the spirit is essential to the resurrection. We just read that in Matthew 22. If there is no spirit, then there is no resurrection. Acts 23, verse 8. If there is no resurrection, the sin problem is meaningless because let's just go grab for the gusto because we only go around once. Well, Paul put that argument to rest in 1 Corinthians 15 when he taught the truth about the resurrection and about the judgment that would follow the resurrection. Man's body, man has a body of flesh and blood, contrary to what Christian Science teach. Man was formed out of the dust of the earth. That's what Genesis 2 verse 7 teaches. After sin, God ordained that it would return to that dust in Genesis 3 verse 19. God gave both plants and animals for food, but forbid blood in the beginning in Genesis 9, 3 and 4, and Leviticus 17, 11, because life was in the blood. The body appears to sleep in death as it returns to the dust. It appears to be asleep as it conforms to that which it came from. The spirit is very much alive in the Hadean realm. Read Luke chapter 16. It's very much alive. It lives beyond this existence of death. Christian Science called Mary Baker Eddy in 1879 embraces the philosophical idealism, which dismisses the real world as an illusion. The dust of the ground, man's body, flesh and bones, and death are said to be an illusion. If such teaching is true, the deeds of the body would be mere fathoms of an illusion. Sin would not really be real at all. How would each of us give an account of judgment? In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, it says we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of things done in the body. Why, if all of it is an illusion? Why, if none of it means anything? If all of this is just an illusion, why do we have to give an account for illusion? Again, Mary Baker Eddy was wrong, and so are the Christian Scientists, that man is a body of flesh and bones, but man also has an inner spirit. Man's creation. Man exists by the creation of God, not by the chance of evolution of the species. On the sixth day, God created man and woman. Man from the dust and woman from the rib of Adam. Read Genesis chapter 1 and 2. God made all forms of life, including man, capable of reproducing each after its own kind. That was the law of procreation that God established at creation. He rested on the seventh day of his creation work, according to Genesis 2, verses 1 and 3, and Exodus 20, and verse 11. God created all things at the beginning is a fundamental to proper human conduct. Everything has its origin traced to God. According to the general theory of evolution, life came by chance from non-life, animals from plants, and man from animals. Man is nothing more than a higher form of animal life. Since this is true, he can act like one, and most of the time he does. What is the result of such reasoning? A philosophy of self before others. He has a barnyard morality. He might make right in the survival of the fittest. Every man is a law unto himself. Right and wrong, in an absolute sense, are replaced by evolving concepts which are always relative, which result in radically different but equally valid lifestyles. Godless chaos is the result in a radically indifferent but equally valid lifestyle. You can see this produced every day in your newspaper. This minimizes, marginalizes sin and makes man seem incapable of dealing with it and really from committing it. And so, in this beginning of this lesson on the sin and its the nature of man, there are two relevant concepts we see. One is that man is unable to not sin. He sins because it's part of his nature. It's part of his makeup. It's part of something that was passed down when Adam and Eve sinned. Then we inherit the sinful nature. And this sinful nature, as Calvin says that we can't do good, we can't think good, we can't do good. Even if we wanted to, we couldn't, until God acts upon us in some miraculous way. Such is a figment of Calvin's imagination. Man does have a body of flesh and blood, but he also has an inner spirit. That inner spirit is the thing that determines the choices that men make. When he chooses to go against God, he chooses sin, not because he has to, not because he must, but because he wants to. And when he does that, there's a consequence enacted by God. Next week, we'll continue to look at this relationship in man's nature and as it is in regards to sin. Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you tune in again next Lord's Day as we continue to look at the subject of sin. Have a blessed day.